so great. Great beyond all, great above all. We honor you for that, Lord. We bless you. We bless this day. Amen. Thank you, worship team. All right. So, as most of you know, we are still busy with Well Done, Good and Faithful Servant. But today is the last day. So for the last 2 weeks, we've been looking at the following verse in Matthew 25, verse 21. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come join in your master's happiness." Right? So it's a beautiful verse. But before I go any further, I just want to show you a quick video. So please divert your attention to the screens. So it's a funny little video, but it speaks about something deeper, right? Because how many of us walk with our hands in our pockets every single day, right? We just living on our own world, worrying about ourselves, not really caring about the person next to us, right? And the beautiful thing about that video is the moment the hands came out of the pockets, things not only started to change for him, but for everyone around him. It benefited him. He was happy at the end. But so were the people that he helped, right? So we're going to be looking at servanthood today. And we're going to talk about this video quite a bit. But that's the main focus today. So the first week, I spoke about the good in Good and Faithful Servant, where we looked at integrity, which needs humility. And it's all, you know, all those things that we talked about, right? And it needs the faithfulness and all of that. And then Yunelda spoke about faithfulness itself and explained it to us. Today, we're going to be looking at the servant part. So we've looked at the good, we've looked at faithful, we've looked at servant. Now, these things can't be without each other, right? You either have servant, you either have, well, God can either say, well done, good, or he can say, well done, faithful, or he can say, well done, servant. But you don't want to hear that. You want to hear all three together, well done, good, and faithful, servant, as one thing. So as we're looking about As we're looking through servanthood, today's the focus is servant, right? And many of you might have some questions about servanthood. Some of you are wondering, what is servanthood, right? It's a valid question. Some of you are asking, what is a servant? And most of us are just like, what? Right? What does this have to do with anything? Why do I have to be a servant? I don't want to be a servant. I'm a child of God. I'm not some lowly servant. No one's going to walk over me, right? It's a lot of our thoughts. And they're valid thoughts. You're allowed to feel that way. Let's look at Matthew 25, verse 35 to 40. For I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me into your home. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you cared for me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Then it goes on to say, then these righteous ones will reply, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you something to drink? Or a stranger and show you hospitality? Or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will say, I tell you the truth. When you did it to the least of your brothers and sisters, you did it to me. Right? And there's some interesting points here. So the context of this, Jesus was telling a parable, and the whole parable goes as follows, where at the end of time, on judgment day, just like a shepherd would separate the sheep from the goats, God will separate the righteous from the unrighteous. And he will turn to the righteous, and he will say this to him. He will say, hey, listen, when I was hungry, you fed me, what I want. And they will ask him, okay, but when did we do these things? And then he says, well, when you did it to anyone else, you did it to me. And then after this, it says he turns to the goats, the unrighteous ones, and he says, go away, leave. You didn't do anything for me. You were just so selfish. You lived your own life according to your own rules, and now you chose that life, so now you got to go that way, right? And it's a hard truth. It's an ouchy truth. But these righteous ones, this group of people who did the right thing, right? It's very interesting that they say, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry? So they weren't going out of their way trying to find a hungry person or trying to find Jesus looking hungry and feed Jesus while he was hungry, right? But then he says there, when you did it to the least of my brothers and sisters, you did it to me. So servanthood is an attitude. It's how you behave. It's what you do. It's what you think about a certain situation. Because when these righteous ones served people, we can automatically deduce that their intention was never to serve the person to get something from it from God, right? They didn't go out and say, you're a hungry person. Let me feed you so that Jesus can think I fed him so that I can be in his good books, right? That was never their intention. They walked with their hands out of their pockets, right? 2 weeks ago, I also spoke about living with open hands so that you can learn to trust God, right? It's living with open hands. If these righteous ones lived like this, or with their hands in their pockets, they would never be able to receive anything in the first place, right? But they didn't walk like this to receive. They walked like this to give. That was their attitude. That should be our attitude. So it matters what we do and to who we do it. Because the person sitting next to you, the person out there on the street, your boss, your employees, your mother, your brother, your sister, your oma, your auntie, whoever, every single human being around you is Jesus, in quotation marks, right? Because what you do to that person, you do to Jesus. So if you treat that person poorly, you're treating Jesus poorly. And I don't want to stand there in front of Jesus one day and have him say, remember that time? And then get my 2 bucks slas, and then he goes to the next one, remember that time? And then I get another 2 bucks slas. He's not going to do that, but he's not going to give you a bucks slas. But you don't want to be in that situation where you've turned someone away for whatever reason, right? But you've turned them away, and now you're accountable for that because you treated Jesus that way, right? So let's make it practical. If let's say someone comes and knocks on your gate, right? We get many different groups of people who come and knock on the gates. Yeah, I'm not even going to name them because I might get in trouble, right? But you know who comes to knock at your gate. Are you the type of person that goes out and maybe you have a conversation with them, right? And you talk to them? Or are you someone that just hides in your house? You lock all the doors, switch off all the lights so that they think nobody's home. Or do you just yell there from the door, hey, move it, go away. Right? What's your attitude? Are you living like this? Are you living like this? Or are you living like this? Right? Are you ignorant? Are you fighting them? You don't want to do anything with them? are you at least open to a conversation? Are you at least hospitable to them? Not hostile, hospitable. Because our attitude is the thing that shows our character. Remember when I did those marbles? The attitude is a green marble. It's a white marble. You don't want to be a green marble, remember? You want to be a better person. And the attitude is here on the inside. It's something that God sees, that God cares about. Remember, we spoke about that. God knows what's going on in here. He knows what's in your heart. He knows what's in your mind. So you can't fool him. You can't go and give a bread to someone if your intention isn't right. God will know. He'll see past that. He knows your selfish intents. So if your attitude is to walk around with open hands, to give, to bless, period, you're on the right path. You're in a good space. Servanthood is measured by faith, not by size. Let's look at Luke 16, verse 10. If you are faithful in the little things, you will be faithful in the large ones. But if you are dishonest in the little things, you won't be honest with greater responsibilities. So you probably have this verse drilled into your mind by now. Because for the last 3 weeks, we've been looking at this particular verse. Because this verse is the core. It is the principle for being a good and faithful servant. Right? If you can't get this, it's going to be so difficult, maybe even impossible for you to become a good and faithful servant. Because you can't become faithful unless God helps you build that faith, and unless you live like this. Because you see, when I live like this, God can provide. When he provides, that builds my trust and faith in him. That continues a cycle where I can give more, then I can be trusted with more, which is this principle. So that I can become more faithful, more good, a better servant, so that I can eventually become a good and faithful servant. So, you can read the verses after it. It's a bit scary, right? Because it talks about if you're not responsible with anything, that it'll be taken away from you, right? And that's scary, but it's also very valid. Because if I borrow you my car, right, which is almost impossible, but if I borrow you my car and you bring it back with 5 new scratches, a broken wheel, the windshield wiper is broken off, one of the windows are out, you think I'm going to give you my car again? I'm going to take it back one time because I can't trust you with my car. You're going to damage it more, right? But if you bring it back and you somehow washed it, you cleaned it, you put a full tank of petrol, man, I'll borrow it to you anytime. Just call me on an empty tank. I'll borrow it to you anytime, right? Because why? You can be trusted. You did the small things, the things that don't really matter in the big picture, right? You could have just given me the car back the exact way that you found it. That would have been good as well. But you went a bit beyond that, okay? So you remember 2 weeks ago I asked you those really difficult questions, the are you stuck questions, right? I asked you, are you stuck because you're prideful? Are you stuck because you're not faithful, because you're untrustworthy? Remember those questions, right? I'm going to give you a new one. Are you stuck because you can't be trusted to serve others? Have you considered that that might be a possibility, that you're stuck where you are? God can't provide because, again, I'm living like this. Right? I'm stuck because my hands are closed. It's my own fault. It's not God's fault. He's not going to pry my hands open. Because servanthood is humility. And we spoke about humility 2 weeks ago as well, because it's so important. I won't say the same thing twice if it's not important, right? Humility is the key to almost everything. I said that. And it's the key to servanthood. But guess what? Servanthood helps you to practice humility. It helps you to train. This is the exercise for humility, right? If you want to get big biceps, you go to the gym, you pick up some weights, right? You want to get like a bokeh, so you do squats, right? If you want to be a better servant, if you want to be better at humility, if you want to be more humble, you serve. Servanthood is the gym for humility. Let's read John 13, verse 4 to 6. So he got up from the table, took off his robe, this is Jesus now, wrapped a towel around his waist, and poured water into a basin. Then he began to wash the disciples' feet. So, very important, he took off his robe. This is Jesus now. What does it mean that he took off his robe? It means he stepped out of one role into another. He stepped out of his role as teacher, as Lord, as Savior, right? And he stepped into a new role as what? He wrapped a towel around his waist. That is the role of a servant, right? Some context. Back in the day, these people only had Moses blockies, right? You know what a Moses blockie is? It just hangs onto your big toe, and that's it, right? No other structure, no support, no nothing. So these oaks either ran barefoot, or they ran with those blockies. Now, try it for yourself. I'm not going to tell you to do it because it's very dangerous, but if you walk barefoot from the church to Checkers and back, and you look at your feet, you think they're going to be clean. They're going to be dirty, super dirty. Now, these people didn't have tar roads like us. They had dirt roads with camels and donkeys and pigs walking on these roads. So you can imagine what's falling there. It's camel dung, right? And you don't know where you're walking. You're just walking. So sometimes you step in camel dung, and then it gets in between your toes, and it's disgusting, and your feet are smelly, and you're walking from town to town, right? It's like walking from here to Vereeniging, and that's a short walk, right? These people would walk for 2-3 days on end from city to city. So you can imagine how stinky their feet are, right? If yours are bad after a days of work, imagine their feet, right? And then you would get to someone's home. They would invite you in, and they would invite you to sit on a chair, and a servant would come, and they would wash your feet. They would come, they would put a basin there by your feet, put like a towel there, and they would scrub your toes. They would put their fingers in between your toes, get all the dung out of there, make sure it's nice and clean, dry it off for you, and then you're welcome into their house. Right now, that's not a very glamorous job, right? Who of you, raise your hand, like, be honest with me. Who of you would want to have that as your job, cleaning people's feet for the rest of your life? Like scrubbing, thank you, Aunt Regina. I'll call you. I'll call you tonight. You can help me and my wife. So, it's not a glamorous job, and not a lot of us are willing to do it. I raise my hand to show an example, but I'm not going to do it. I promise you, I don't like feet. I don't like stinky things. So, I'm not going to get close to stinky feet, right? But Jesus humbled himself. He stepped out of one role into another role. But here comes the important part. After washing their feet, he put on his robe again. And he sat down and asked, "Do you understand what I was doing? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, because that is what I am. And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I've given you an example to follow. Do as I have done to you." He put on his robe again. After serving, he what? Put on his robe again. He went back to being their teacher, being their Lord. Why? Because that never changed. When we serve other people, we don't change who we are. We just take on a new role, a new responsibility, right? You don't become a servant. You are still a child of God who just behaves like a servant. Because God is still God, but he serves us every single day, right? When the earth and the universe, when it was created for one purpose and one purpose only, for you and me. So God served us so greatly, right, that he created the whole universe just so you and me can sit here in church and pray. Or we can drive around in our cars and yell at people or throw papers on the floor, whatever you want to do in your free time, right? God has given you that ability. He's created the entire universe for you to have free will, to do what you want, to live, have freedom, to experience joy, experience love, experience sadness, experience pain. All of these things have been given to us. When he created Adam, he sculpted him out of clay and he breathed his own ruach, his spirit, into Adam. That is servanthood right there. God is saying, you know what? I'm going to give some of what I am to you. I'm going to give some of myself to you. I'm not going to degrade myself or make myself worthless. Instead, I'm going to elevate you to be with me, to be where I am. So if that is the example, right? Jesus isn't saying, I showed you how to wash feet, now go wash feet. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, I've shown you how to serve. So go out and serve, right? If you want to wash people's feet as a symbolic act, by all means, I'm not going to do it, but you can, right? But it's as simple as if you're a CEO or a manager of a company, right, you can still be the manager, have a coffee with one of your employees, ask them, hey, how can we make your life easier here at work? How can we make it more effective for you to work better? How can we make this environment calmer for you? Or, you know, what can I make your life easier, right? Or if you're working at a company and you have your responsibility, you are working on this machine and this machine only, that's your responsibility, right? If you are done with everything, if your responsibilities, everything's ticked off your list, your machine is working right, everything is up to standard, and now you've got some free time, but you see John is struggling, go to John. Hey, John, man, how can I help you? What can I do to make your life easier? Right? These are some practical things, because Jesus said, you're still in charge of this machine. You're still the CEO. You're still the manager. You're just stepping into the role of a servant. Because we have this very funny view. We believe that leaders are to be served, right? But in the kingdom of God, it's upside down. The leaders are the ones that serve. God is the greatest servant in all of existence, all of the universe, right? He serves you every single day, but he's still God, still the most powerful, still the most loving, still the most caring, still the most gentle. He's still who he is, but he steps into a role as a servant, right? Because he loves you. And guess what? Servanthood, it's not about you. It's not about me, right? If I serve, it's not about me. Because if I make it about me, then I'm not serving, right? Then I'm just being selfish. I'm just worrying about myself. I'm being prideful. Why? Because focus is here. We spoke about that 2 weeks ago. What is pride? Me, 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 I. What is humility? Is humility you? No. It's us. I am where I am. I am who I am. I am who God created me to be. I don't degrade myself to pull you up. Instead, I just elevate you, and you elevate me, and I elevate you, and you elevate me. We help each other grow. That's humility, and that's servanthood. Matthew 25, verse 35 to 40, we looked at this. For I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, you invited me into your home. I was naked, you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you cared for me. I was in prison, and you visited me. We should recognize that when we serve others, we're serving God and God's people. So when I give out of myself, what am I giving from? Not from myself. I am giving from what has been given to me in the first place, right? I don't own anything. I am just a steward of everything that has been entrusted to me, right? The car I have, it's not my car, it's God's car. Right, so if the thing has scratches, he has to pay. I'm sorry, you know, he's gonna pay. It's his car. So, at the end of the day, that car isn't mine. So if God says, "Hey, give it away," okay, whatever. I've got long legs. I'll walk. You know, I'll get there twice as fast. I have to carry my wife, but we'll get there. So it's not mine to give. It's God's. So if he says give, give, because it's not mine. Because it's not about me. You see. So when God gives me little, and I can be trusted to give little, then God can trust me with more. Why? So that I can have more? No, so that I can give more. Then he trusts me with even more. Why? So that I can have more? No, so that I can give even more. Right? But this doesn't mean, again, back to the degradation. The degrading of oneself. There we go. I'll just use that way. My tongue is twisting. So, I don't have to be the poorest man on earth because I give everything away. Right? I still have my own responsibilities. I still have to take care of my wife. I still have to take care of my cat. Still have to take care of the church. And I can't do that in my underwear. Right? I can't stand up here in my underwear because I want to give the clothes off my back to someone else that needs it. Right? So, I don't help someone where it doesn't benefit the both of us. Or, if God doesn't say to do so. Because God will never tell you to do something if he doesn't have your back. Where he leads, he feeds. Where he guides, he provides. God wants you to give, you can expect something back. right? See, if he tells you to give your shirt to someone, it just means that your new shirt is on its way. It's being couriered to you. But he'll never let you sit there shirtless. It's not how it's going to work, right? So we shouldn't be scared to give when God tells us to give. Otherwise, we're going to walk around with our hands in our pockets. And then sometimes God's going to have to scare us with an old lady in a car so that we can start walking like this, so that we can start giving. Why? So that we can end up being good and faithful servants. Because at the end of the day, this is what we want to hear. Well done, good and faithful servant. So, do you have integrity? Are you a good servant? Or are you a good? Are you faithful? Are you a servant? Because let me tell you, that Luke 16 verse that we read, if you can use that verse and serve others, if you start serving, you'll automatically become the good and faithful. Then you don't have to worry too much about what you're doing every single day. You just need to change your attitude from this to this. And everything else will come. Because the moment I put my hands out there, what happens? I'm telling God, hey, I'm open. Here I am, Lord, send me. I want to step into this new role, Lord. I want to stay your child. I don't want to become a servant, but I want to be in the role of a servant. I don't want to become something less, because it has a sour taste on our tongues in the language that we use today. But it's not a bad thing to be a servant. It isn't. We take things and we rip them out of proportion because our context doesn't align with what the Bible's context is. And that's not right. Because a servant is a good thing. A servant is someone who what? Gives from themselves to others to uplift and uphold everyone around them. And guess what? If you help 10 people, you've got 10 new friends who's going to help you. That's a great investment, right? If you give 10 rand to 10 people and they make it 100 rand and they give you back that 100 rand, money. You're a rich man. Huh? And then it's going to sound like a pyramid scheme, but then they're going to get 10 friends. And they're going to give them 100 bucks, and then they're going to bring 1,000 bucks, and then they're going to make 10,000 rich, right? And that's what a servanthood heart should be like, and that's what servanthood looks like in the first place, is we build and uphold each other. Because the moment I'm selfish, the moment I hold on to what I have, I can't grow it. If the seed is in my hand, it'll never be able to grow. If I plant it in the ground, if I give it some water, if I hire someone to help me look after it, guess what? We're both going to get a big tree full of fruit. And then both of us can take those fruits. We can get more people to help us. We can go plant more seeds, get more trees with even more fruit so that even more people can benefit. Because it's not about us. It's not about you, and it's not about me. At the end of the day, it's about this. Well done, good and faithful servant. Why? Because what I have given you, you have stewarded properly. You've taken care of it properly. You have given to others. I could trust you with little, so now I'm going to trust you with more. Why? So that you can do more. For who? For him. Not for yourself. And God is so faithful that we too, we as his children, we can also be served by him and by the people around us. Right? I mean, yeah, this shirt, I didn't buy this shirt. Pastor Craig bought it for me, right? And he had to drive all the way to Joburg to get this for me, right? It's the only place that has big clothes, right? It's big and tall, and this jean as well. I didn't have to do anything for this, but he served me, and that is the perfect, most beautiful example that I can think of. Is he's our senior pastor. He is my leader. I have been placed here to serve him and then serve everyone else, right? That is my role. That's my responsibility at this church. But then he goes, he flips the script. He says, no, Mark. I am the senior pastor. I am the biggest servant here. So he one-upped me, right? So I have to buy him 2 pairs of jeans now, right? But isn't that beautiful, right? That I didn't have to do anything to deserve this. I didn't do anything to earn this. But I freely received. Why? Because I, me as Mark, this is a principle of mine, is to walk like this, right? But I have to be very careful, because one of my love languages is giving. I love giving, but I have to be very careful, because my greatest strength can also become my greatest weakness. Because if I have my last 10 rand and I have to feed my family, but someone comes and they ask me for that last 10 rand because they have to feed their family, my giving heart might give it to that person, and then my family goes hungry. But that's not responsible. That's not wise. You see, my responsibilities need to trump that. It needs to say, no, sorry, my family comes first. When me and my family, when we're strong, we can help you and your family as well. Because why? Because I can't degrade myself and my family for the benefit of others, right? We can grow our fruit tree so that everyone can benefit from it. But I can't give away my seeds. Unless the Holy Spirit guides me to do so. Because there are going to be times where I'm going to have to think, yo, okay, last 10 rand for my family or for this oak, right? And there's going to be times where God's going to say, give it to this oak. And I'm going to fight him. I'm going to fight tooth and nail. I'm going to say, listen, you gave me a responsibility. I have to do this. And we're going to go back and forth. You know, like Jacob, I might end up with a broken hip. If you see me walking skew one day, you know. But there's going to be times where we have to fight God while struggle with him, right? There are going to be times like that. That's a guarantee. But at the end of the day, if he says, do it, why not trust him? He lets you wake up every single day. When you're sick, your body knows how to heal itself. Most of us can see, some of us need subscription to see. But God has blessed you with money to buy the subscription to see. Right? Some of us can't walk, but the rest of us can. We can run, we can do so many things. We are capable of almost everything. But we don't want to use that. We don't want to use that to build our communities. We don't want to use that to uplift each other. God has blessed you with so many things. Why don't you want to bless others? Right. And we had a volunteer supper in November. Yeah. And we had about 120 people that were here. And this was the volunteers and the spouses included. You know how much food we had to give? At least Andre cooked. If I had to cook, everyone would get a small pie. Right. But we had to feed so many people, and it was so beautiful to see how many people actually serve in the church, right? Because at the end of the day, we all have a responsibility to serve not only people, but the church, right? The church doesn't mean you serve me. Let's get that very clear, right? You don't come to church to come wash my feet. It's not how it works, okay? I wash your feet by preaching and teaching. That's how I serve, okay? You come, you serve each other, we help each other, we build this community up, right? So, if you're good with children, help out at the children's church. God has given you a gift that you're running with your hands closed, right? But you can help someone else who's really struggling with their kids and teach their kids manners so that the kids can teach the parents manners, okay? But not in this church. This church, we've got good manners, I know. It's the other people, right? So, if you have the gift, why not help there? Or if you know that someone in your community is struggling to find a job, and you know someone who knows someone who knows someone who can offer them a job, why not hook them up? Why not tell them, hey, I know this guy, let me put you in contact with him. Right? Serving others doesn't mean you have to go to their house and wash their toilet. It just means you hold their hand and say, let's do this, man. Let me help you get through this. It's just grabbing someone by the arm and saying, let's go. You don't have to do everything for them. That old lady, when she grabbed the man didn't just pick her up and put her across the street. He just walked with her, and she made him walk with her. But at the end of the day, that's what servanthood is all about. It's about you and me, not worrying about me and you. It's about us worrying about each other. Worrying about other people, uplifting them, upholding them. So if you want to be a good and faithful servant, start practicing. Go to the gym and serve. Because once you realize it's not about me, it's mind-blowing. The moment you snap the thing that I am being selfish and it's not about me, and let me do it this way, let me choose the humble route, let me help this person, let me serve this person. The moment you do that, I promise you, a whole new world will open up for you. Right? You'll feel these weird feelings, right? They're called happy feelings. Right? You'll feel so satisfied. You'll feel so at peace. Why? Because God rewards this kind of behavior. He sees, he cares. Remember we spoke about it 2 weeks ago. In Psalms, he says, he will withhold no good thing from those who do what? What is right. And the righteous ones, they do what is right. And what did the righteous ones do? They served. So walk with your hands open. Start serving others. Stop worrying about yourself so much. Stop worrying about those around you. Is everybody okay? Did I give you a paksla? Apparently I've been doing that the last 2 weeks now. All right, but I'm serious. This is a big thing, and people underestimate it. This is a core principle of Christianity. Servanthood is part of Christianity. Jesus said, those who want to follow me need to what? Die to themselves and carry their own cross. That means you need to put down your own hopes and dreams and do what he's created you to do. Do what he's asking you to do. And this is part of that. Serving others. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be something that you want to do. It's not going to be something that comes naturally to some people. But it's something that we have to do, whether you like it or not. If you don't want to do this, yeah, maybe I shouldn't say it. Yeah, but you can tell from my long silent pause that it was going to be a very serious thing. So, serving is part of Christianity. If you want to be a Christian, you got to serve. If you want to be God's child, you have to do what he asks you to do, and he asks you to serve. Do as I have done to you. Go and serve others. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you are the ultimate servant. That no matter what we do, where we go, you're always the first one to look out for us. Lord, you've blessed us with so many things, Lord. You blessed us with breath in our lungs. You've blessed us with the ability to walk, a heart that pumps without us having to worry about it. Lord, you've blessed most of us with roofs over our heads, blankets, beds, food in our bellies. Lord, and to every single one of it, it comes in different ways. Some of us get a salary and we can buy those things. Some of us live paycheck to paycheck. Some of us just live off the scraps that other people give to us, Lord. But at the end of the day, you're the one. You're the one that provides for us. You're the one that trusts us. You're the one that is trusting us to take what we have and to multiply. Like Yunelda spoke about the parable of the talents last week. Lord, you've given us each a set of talents, a set of gifts, skills. Lord, and we need to use those things for your benefit. Because that's what it's all about, Lord. It's all about you. Lord, and you're a jealous God, Lord, but not an envious jealous God, Lord. You're a God that just wants your children to be your children, to trust you, not to go run to some other parent, but to come to their own parent and ask what they need and to be able to give them what they need, Lord. And we love you for that, Lord. I pray that you would help us to find a place where we can start serving others, Lord. Lord, whether it's in the church, whether it's in our families, at work, wherever, Lord, show us where we can start opening up our hands so that we can start becoming good and faithful servants. Help us to be more humble, Lord, to rid ourselves of this pride that everything's about me and that I deserve everything. Lord, we don't deserve anything. But you freely give us everything, everything that we have. And we're so honored for that, Lord. We bless you, Lord Jesus. Amen.